Thanks again to Wonderland. Always good to come in and drive up here with some good music playing. So
way up, yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I want to say this is KKCR Honolulu, KQA Kilauea, and this is K224CQ in Honolulu and K284AL in Haleiwa. And I want to say that the Kauai Earth Connection is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, Kalaheo Chiropractor, and Soltrin.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Lewis and Eddie Soltrin Construction, 639-4836, building quality on Kauai for over 25 years. New custom homes, remodeling, and repairs. Exclusive dealer for Talia's Hurricane Roll-Down Shutters Protection for your home. Lewis and Eddie Soltrin Construction, 639-4836, or SoltrinConstruction.com.
Nearly 700,000 Americans were arrested on marijuana charges last year. That's an enormous waste of law enforcement resources and terribly unfair to those arrested and their families. It's time we stopped arresting adults who smoke marijuana responsibly. For more information, visit Normal's website at www.normal.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL and tell them Willie sent you.
All right, Willie Nelson.
Radio. Oh,
thank you so much for supporting Kauai Community.
Radio.
Radio. It's like magic. That it is. Ooh, there's a wild echo going on in my headphones.
That was me.
Oh, yeah, that was you? Oh,
radio.
Okay. All right. Well, here we are, Kauai Earth Connection for you folks. It's news and commentary.
News and commentary. Remember the commentary. It's just our opinions. And it's an hour-long show. This is Gordon Lebeds, by the way, and we're doing the news and commentary on the Kauai environment for this month, on the environmental issues that kind of sifted to the top of the heap for August. And we're not taking calls because we only have an hour show. Bummer deal. But that's the way it is. Sorry, folks,
well, we've got to call in, folks.
But we thank you
for your persistence of trying to call in.
You can keep trying, but we won't pick up
the red ball lights up quite frequently.
Yeah, we've got about 10 issues we want to cover, and we just can't do it if people call. So here we are. So we always start this show with the Surfrider Foundation Blue Water Task Force water quality results. And they're really different this last year overall.
Yeah, you're right.
Overall.
I think the rainfall, lack thereof.
Lack thereof.
Chemtrails side effect of dry.
We're not through the El Nino year yet.
No, that's true.
There's a lot of moisture out there sitting outside Hilo.
Tell me if I'm right.
High reason.
But my understanding is that when we have an El Nino warming of the water in the Pacific, that Kauai gets less rain, right?
Really?
That's what I thought. California gets all the rain, and Kauai doesn't. But I may be wrong.
I thought it was the chemtrails, because they're one of the side effects of chemtrails is it dries up. It takes the moisture out of there.
They want to control the weather. Yeah, that's what chemtrails are all about. Geoengineering.
We've been getting blasted for the last couple weeks now. It's just like a daily dose of your aluminum and whatever else they
have. You know, we're talking about later on in the show, the Pacific Missile Research Facility.
G.I. Joe.
PMRF. Yeah. And, you know, God only knows what they're doing over there. You know, they're not going to tell us. But anyway, back to the water quality results.
But we're protected. We're safe now.
You know?
Unless one missile goes awry, which has happened before.
Yeah, you remember that South Park movie? America, F yeah.
I got to watch that.
That was a great
Your country
movie.
Is safe.
America!
From terrorists. Yeah.
All right, so we're doing the...
about your business.
Let's see here.
Okay, let's do the water.
Oh, okay. All right.
We had a lot of good water this month. lot of good
clean water. Yeah, not too bad. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, at least 20 of them, maybe. So 15 at least were all considered safe-ish. Less than 10 is considered safe, and a good portion of them.
So Wile High and PK's, which is Prince Kuhio Condos, they're over in Pu'ipu. They were nice and clean, and they're usually clean, though.
Yeah, they have
GOM. Almost always normal.
Yeah.
And Kailia was clean, Anahola Bay clean. Kahalani, you know where that is?
No, I don't.
I
you
don't
can't
know
ask
where
me
that
these
is.
Things. Waikoko was good. The salt pond was good.
Yeah, salt pond is usually good.
Sure.
Middles. Now, that's the Middles in Hanalei Bay, and that was good. Rock Quarry is over there on the northeast side. That was good. Kalapaki Bay was good. Yeah, people are always bad-mouthing Kalapaki Bay, but it's been pretty clean. That's a pretty
so far
clean
this year, geomean of 10. That's not too bad for...
We haven't had an accident with the pipe out in the water.
Well, that's right.
In a while.
That's right.
It's been a while. That changes it for a bit.
There's a pipe that ends in Kalapaki Beach right by the Marriott that every once in a while spews out horrible, smelly, foul, brown water. But that, I guess that's been okay.
Brown,
duct tape is holding.
All right. Now we're venturing into the just above normal. Waniha Stream was 30. Pakala Bay fascinates me because... We've been doing this for 8 years or some amazingly long time, and Pakala Bay has never been normal. It's always in the hundreds.
Uh-huh.
And this year it's been normal almost every single month.
Geo mean for the year thus far, 80.1. Now remember, less than 10 is considered safe, so we're still over the limit.
But zero would be the best.
Yeah, zero would be nice.
But still, 41 for Pakala Bay is amazing. Mm-hmm. And Pakala has cows that graze up there, and I see the cows. But I can tell you why it's normal, because when you paddle out to where the surf break is, you can feel when the stream water stops and the ocean water starts, because the temperature is so dramatic, the stream water is really cold, and the stream doesn't go out into the ocean much anymore, and it's all about the drought. That's why I think Pakala is normal.
And they finally removed that giant cesspool.
That big cesspool, that community cesspool.
A few years ago, from the retired cane workers camp.
Yeah.
Kali'iwai was 62, and Gillian's 63. Willie Stream.
Gillian's is that little house over there at Maha'ulepu.
Okay.
And that's always bad. And that was only 63.
Not 385, which is the mean.
The normal mean. Willie Stream, look at that, 74.
I know, that's amazing.
That's really good.
I'm positive.
The same guy tests Willie Stream every month for years, and Rob Zelkowski, I know him. He was former chair of Surfrider. Now, these two channels, which I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Moikeha Canal.
Say that again?
Moikeha.
All right, then.
Canal, 135.
And what's the other one?
Uhele Kava Canal.
Okay, so those are the canals by the Bullshed Restaurant and by...
Safeway.
Yeah, by Safeway, yeah.
In that stretch.
Yeah, and those are being tested because Dr. Katie Music is trying to grow corals there.
Yeah.
And that's why they're being tested. And they were remarkably good. This month.
Only 135.
Yeah, only 212.
Right.
And, of course, Niumalu, which is always bad, is not that bad. 364, compared to the average of 1,500. Okay. Waikea Canal, I have no idea where that is.
Not sure where that is.
I don't know.
605.
Yeah.
And Waikomo Stream, 933. That was over the GOM 7.
And that's always bad. That's the stream at Maha'ulepu. That's always dirty.
It's one of them,
yeah. Actually, Waikea Canal, I don't know where that is.
Sorry.
The Waimea River, look at that.
2,909.
That was through the roof.
But it's not the big winner.
No, it's not the big winner, but I can tell you that the Waimea River test was almost all fresh water. That the Waimea was running dark brown that morning, and the dark brown was going 100 yards offshore. So it was obviously really raining upstream, up at Kokea. And the Waipoli stream, which is a consistent winter.
Waiopili stream.
Waiopili stream, which is the stream at Mahaulepu where the, that new,
That's right, you tell him, Nibon, you tell him.
That's the stream that the, farm, that cattle farm, what do you call it?
The dairy farm.
Dairy farm is
going
to dump into.
There's only 5,794.
And it's normally in the 10,000s.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's the latest theory on that. It must be the illegal sewage dumping that was going on and grow farm.
Well, they backed off a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe.
And I think once they got caught, they stopped doing it. And
well, they didn't get caught.
Well.
Did they get caught? No.
Well, they didn't get busted or anything, but you know, the Surfrider Foundation Blue Water Task Force started looking around and pointing fingers, and they stopped doing that.
Department of Health even came in.
Yes.
They didn't do anything.
They investigated.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So that's the Blue Water Task Force results.
So if people wanted, they've been doing this for 6 to 8 years.
Some long time. And if people wanted
to get a reference of our streams, maybe you're a tourist visiting the island, where could they go online to see this collection, archives of Kauai's water?
Two places will lead you there. Surfrider.org/Kauai or KauaiSurfrider.org. Either one will take you to the water test results. Just surf around a little bit and you got it. And thanks again to Carl Berg and the crew that test the water every month. And what, there's about 20 places they test, and they've been doing it for years. And just so you know, there's lots of battles that are going on behind the scenes with Surfrider leaders from Kauai, and the National Surfrider attorneys are involved. Because we're concerned that these streams are not marked as dangerous. And some of the real popular streams, like Now Willy Willy Stream, it should have a sign that says, please don't let your kids play in this. This is not a wading pool. This is a polluted stream.
Not a good idea.
Yeah. And they won't post signs. The Department of Health is just being really difficult about it.
Well, they might hurt our tourism, you know.
I think that must be it.
Obviously, they don't care about the health of people.
Department of Health is supposedly looking after our health, and they're, yeah, it's been quite a deal. Carl Berg has been dealing with these guys for two, three years now, and they just, you know, through a couple of administrations, they just holding the line, not doing anything. You know, they're saying the tests are no good and la-di-da and whatever.
But they're not valid?
But they haven't done anything themselves to discredit, right?
Actually, no. They've done tests, and we know. The Surfrider Foundation sent tests to Stanford University with DNA samples and all this fancy stuff. And those streams are polluted, and they should be posted.
Right, right.
You know, so it's our government not at work, you know.
In action. Our government.
Government.
In action.
In action, yeah. So that's we don't want to beat this to death, but that's the water quality results for August. And again, thank you for the Surfrider Foundation and all the volunteers.
If our water isn't clean, then we're not going to be healthy people.
That's right, folks. That's wise words.
That's right. We should take care of the resource we had from the beginning.
Yeah,
I mean, we change it into high fructose corn syrup drinks and all these other kind of drinks, and yet water was here.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, really. All right, so we're moving right along, and I wanted to comment on a newspaper front page newspaper article that Brittany Light wrote about PMRF, Pacific Missile Research Facility. And the reason I wanted to say something about it is because she did a story about it, and it was a good story. She did a nice job covering what she covered. But when she called me, she asked me, so what do people on the west side think of the missile base? And of course, it's not a missile base. It's not. There's no base at all. There's hardly any soldiers there. It's a military-industrial complex
research facility. DARPA.
They have all. They test all kinds of stuff that we don't know about. And what I wanted to say is, you know, that's interesting because most of the people on the west side are mad that the base got closed to the public. And, you know, you used to be able to go there at will. And
Major's Bay.
Major, especially the surfers.
It was a beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
There's a number of really world-class surfing beaches there, and the surfers got aced out, and then they gave them passes, and you know, if you've had a felony arrest, you can't go there, you can't get a pass, and
are you saying surfers are felony?
Well, I know surfers that have passes are glad, but anyway, that's a whole other issue. But one of the things I want to say as a conservationist is. Because that the far side of the base over by Polihale Beach has been closed off to everybody, even, you know, the Army and the Navy and the Lockheed and all those guys, they don't go there either. And that place is a really, in essence, a marine protected area, which you would qualify as what's called a fish recovery area, in that no one can fish there, no one can take opihi, no one can set your umbrella out there. It's closed up tight. And it's one of the healthiest beaches on the island of Kauai as far as vis-a-vis marine life and wildlife. And that's a real plus for the base. And I salute them because they have a guy they hire and who looks after that. And, you know, it's not all bad.
But when they shoot off those missiles, where does all that refuse fall?
You know,
there's two objects flying at each other.
I live in Cape Cod,
and they explode.
I was that's the quote they took from the article. It's like, whenever we hear a kaboom out there, we look up to see which way the missile is going. And sometimes it's hard to judge. You know, it looks like it's going over the land and not out to the ocean. And you start to get a little nervous because, you know, these guys, they're testing really dangerous stuff.
And they're testing, so they really don't know if it works.
They've never done it before,
right.
You know.
But do they, like, go and clean it up, you know, like you have to do after your dog?
No,
it blows up all over the place.
The ocean is a dump as far as they're concerned. Yeah. They just dump it in there and they don't care. And it's worst part of it is the overwhelming majority of people who work on the base don't live on the island and don't care about it at all. They come here from California and they're here for a couple months and they shoot off a rocket and then they go home.
Pat themselves on the back.
Oh, yeah, they think they're doing the world a tremendous service. Like, I sat next to a table at Kalapaki Joe's in Waimea next to those guys who shot off that Mars parachute thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, $123 million. Just, you might as well have burned that money, as far as I'm concerned.
I think they did.
Well, they did, yeah that's right.
Crash and burn.
You know, but, you know,
it was a success.
We're learning.
That's part.
But
learning.
Again, the beach, now you can't drive your car on the beach, and you can't, you know, the beach is protected. They have all these shearwaters that live out there, and all these endangered birds, these nene goose. So the base has pros and cons, but.
The coral's coming back, right?
Yeah, coral's coming back, and if I had to vote, I'd get rid of the military-industrial complex, don't get me wrong. But I have to say, you know, it's a mixed bag. In
views
ways,
and opinions expressed on this radio
show are just, yeah.
So. Well, you had better decide whether you're hanging on the cross or banging in the nails.
All right, well, I know I'm not banging the nails. You know, they recently had a convention here of invasive species. They call it a mongoose convention.
So they invited all the mongoose over to the convention center?
If you go to Maui, you see mongoose running around all over the place. And the Big Island is, like, full of mongoose. They're these cutie little... They look like squirrels. They're long, long, skinny squirrels with long tails. And they're really fast runners. And they like to run across the roads for some reason. So you see them a lot. And they were brought here by the plantation masters to get rid of the rats, and it turned out to be a flop because the mongoose run around during the day and the rats sleep at night. Or no, it's the other way
around. No. The rats are not nocturnal.
The rats are nocturnal.
Right, and yeah. The mongoose are not.
Yeah. So the mongoose eat the eggs of all the birds.
Is that what they got for their 160,000 little thing that they do when they do the research to see if this will work or not? No one thought that the animals are on two different sleep schedules.
They never looked at
it. They missed that one?
They missed that one completely. But that was, a bazillion years ago when they didn't know much. So you can't fault them.
They knew enough to bring mongoose to chase the rats, right?
Yeah. And nobody really brought the rats here. The rats just hitchhiked on the boats. So.
Thank you, Captain Cook.
Captain Cook probably brought the first rats. But the bottom line is we've got a group of people, and I think it's important to give them a high five. The Kauai Invasive Species Group works hard to eradicate pests that are going to screw up the island's flora and fauna. And mongoose, we have folks that trap mongoose and,
Trapper Pat.
Euthanize them. Yeah, Pat. Pat, a friend of the show, does that. And these guys work hard doing their duty. There's some controversy about what they do. They spray Roundup up in the mountains there with paintball guns to kill one plant at a time from a helicopter, which they think they're really accurate and doing a good job, but I don't know. That's controversial.
Didn't work in Vietnam. It's definitely not going to work here.
They just sprayed death in Vietnam. Yeah. Here they use a paintball gun.
Oh, so it's not death.
Not mass death.
It's not as noticeable.
Yeah,
right?
Really. Yeah. So anyway, that was we just give high five to the Kauai Invasive Species folks and the good job they're doing. And also, I just want to give a high five to the monk seal hui, which is another group like that that are doing their best to protect these little monk seal babies that are being born. We've had a few births and a couple of pups have died. And there was a headline in the Garden Island, Feds Want More Monk Seals. And that headline probably made 100 fishermen just turn over in their sleep and say bad words. And because fishermen don't like monk seals and they think that the seals are competing for their profits. That's pretty controversial. Most experts think the monk seals don't primarily eat the fish that humans want to eat. But be that as it may, there are only a few hundreds of monk seals, and most of them who used to live on the Northwest Hawaiian Islands are dying because the lobster fishermen took all of the lobster out of the Northwest Hawaiian Islands before it became a national monument, and the seals had nothing to eat, and they had to switch their food, and their population crashed. So it turns out that the monk seals are doing better here in the human community area in Hawaii and the populated Hawaiian Islands. And
right, because you can only lobster with months with R in it, right? Or without.
Yeah, there are limits on fishing
so
here.
Yeah, so they have a chance to. Obviously, they didn't do that in the Northwest.
No, they were big factory fish boats there. Yeah. They were big, big monster boats that would go and kill everything en masse and just decimate the place. And now that place is locked up for fishing boats. So only it's the military that goes and blows things up and kills. But,
it's their own playground.
Yeah, they have free reign out there.
Yeah,
nobody can go except.
No oversight then.
Yeah, they can blow low frequency active sonar, mid frequency active sonar.
Nice. Kill all the wildlife.
They can blow up whatever they want. Oh. No one even knows.
Wow,
because, yeah,
what a great thing.
Yeah, it's.
Wow. That's sarcasm, by the way.
I know. It's horrible. But bottom line is hats off to the monk seal guys who are working hard to protect these little guys from going into the extinction category.
Wouldn't that have the potential of bringing in more sharks, though?
Because
the sharks,
seals,
yeah,
the,
more
the big sharks,
the proliferation
eat
of
seals.
Monk seals would increase the shark who are also out there looking for
They're looking for food. Because most of the monk seals, apparently, on the Kauai area are in Niihau. And there are sharks out there that eat them. Yes, I've heard that from fishermen. And, you know, I've also heard stories from fishermen, Niihau fishermen, about how the seals are pretty good in evading the sharks. They have little techniques. They roll up in a ball and they, you know, they do various things.
Yeah, you're going to learn.
Yeah, you're going to figure it out, man. Those are big sharks, those guys, those tigers. Yeah, so, all right, so moving right along here, we got, we had a really interesting GMO-free Kauai and the Pesticide Action Network and Hawaii Seed sponsored a couple of...
Three.
Oh, yeah, three. Well, three in Lihue. Three speakers.
Oh, I mean three different lectures.
Yeah, it was Lauren Pang... who is the public health officer in Maui.
He was PhD, very interesting.
And he spoke in Lihue. And then the two other professors were I heard them in Waimea. I was really fascinated because I thought I was pretty up to speed on this stuff, and I learned a lot. And what this lady from Australia, she was a professor from Australia. In Australia, they have rules on GMOs, and they have... The Australian government wants scientists to look at GMOs and make sure they're safe, and that's what this lady's job was, is to make sure they're safe. And she didn't think so. She didn't think so at all. And it was fascinating. And
I liked what she said because she went through the rules and regulations for Australia, and they seemed pretty weak. But And then she compared them to the United States, which don't even exist.
None. Nothing.
Zero. And that was quite a shock.
Yeah.
Thank you, lobbyists.
Yeah, there's no restrictions of any kind on GMO. And the House of Representatives just passed a law that said to say that there'll be no labeling of GMO foods. Now, the Senate may not pass it, but Obama will sign it because he's a pro-GMO guy.
Even though his campaign promise was to immediately...
Label.
Immediately.
Yeah, he had a campaign promise to label GMOs, but he's in the pocket of the big chemical companies. And remember, he was from Illinois, you know, a big corn state. Mm. So, but anyway, we'll see about the labeling thing. But I did want to say that when I left that lecture, I thought, you know what, I'm going to work harder and eat an organic. I was really impressed. The Dr. Senna from MIT talked about the correlation between the rise of GMO corn and high fructose corn syrup and all these chronic diseases. And, you know, I was a family physician for Kaiser Permanente my entire career. I'm retired now. And that's all a family doctor does, is deal with chronic conditions, arthritis, diabetes, heart disease, arterial sclerosis, strokes, and heart attacks. That's all we did. And her thesis is all those diseases ran amok, including, by the way, autism, which is also way on the increase, at the same time that the rise of GMO food came in.
Yeah, the correlation of the curve was
dramatic.
Exact.
Yeah, it was exact.
It was really amazing.
You know, and that's I always used to explain to my patients correlation is not proof. Correlation is like the lady who fell down the stairs and got pregnant. You know, just because two things happen at the same time doesn't mean one caused the other. But she made an interesting case. I was really impressed. She's done a lot of homework. But the professor from Australia had a lot of data. There's a lot of data that GMO foods, the GMO part, is unhealthful. Mm-hmm. Because my thing, as a physician, I mean, I learned in medical school that pesticides are poisonous. That remember, we say this on the show a lot. Side.
Say it again. I love
homicide, it. Homicide, suicide, genocide. Side means to kill. And pesticides and herbicides and fungicides are poisons. And you shouldn't eat poisons. It's not good for you.
Pesticides hurt kids like me.
Well, you know, that was one of the things I wanted to say, because they had this really cool booklet. I have it in my hand. It comes from Pesticide Action Network, and if you go to their website, Pesticide Action Network, I'm sure you can get one. It has a thing called Generation in Jeopardy, How Pesticides Are Undermining Our Children's Health and Intelligence. And it's really a good, it's very readable and full of footnotes. It's not just wild speculation, it's how little kids are really impacted by pesticides. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends organic foods in little kids because developmental disabilities, ADHD, autism, childhood cancers, diabetes, and obesity all seem to be correlated, and some are directly related to pesticides. And the point is that little kids are much more sensitive than adults. And I was very impressed with this. Pesticide Action Network, How Pesticides Are Undermining Our Kids' Health and Intelligence. Because intelligence is, they're neurotoxins, so they affect your brain. That's how they kill the insects, is with neurotoxins. They also had another little booklet.
Too late for me.
Yeah, we're over the hill, you know. But
all we can do is sound the alarm.
Yeah. There was another booklet they passed out called Pesticides in Paradise, Hawaii's Health and Environment at Risk. And it, too, was really well footnoted and full of charts and graphs and maps, and a really excellent book. And centerforfoodsafety.org, if you want a copy of it, centerforfoodsafety.org. And they talked about the dangers of pesticides to human, to pesticide exposures to human. I adverse birth outcomes, asthma, childhood cancers, just depression, endocrine disruption, Parkinson's disease. I mean, I learned in med school. I went to med school back in the dark ages, guys, and we knew that pesticides were related to Parkinson's back then. Anyway, one of the things they didn't say, though, that is a concern of mine is, being a conservationist and being a family physician, I was interviewed a lot about organic foods, and I used to say, well, we don't know if organic foods are healthier than pesticide foods because there hasn't been very much research on it, and now there is a lot of research, but. What I used to say, and I still feel very strongly, is the real problem is it kills the soil. It poisons the soil. The soil is dead, and soil is a living thing. So you need bacteria and fungi and bugs and things to have healthy soil, and when you poison it like that, the numbers were shocking how much poison. The Pioneer over there in Waimea, where I live, sprays two times a day, three times a day, sometimes every day of the year. You know, Jesus, do they need that? You know, I mean, is there that many?
Well, they're testing. That's the thing. They're testing. We're guinea pigs. Wow.
The soil is not suitable for crops.
That's our mayor.
That's our mayor said that.
That's right. Oh yeah.
Well,
good for
you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Shut earth and just seeds.
I have to.
Fire! Monsanto!
You know, I saw Mayor Bernard walk down in the rainy day with a little sign that said, I forgot what it said, no GMO or something like that. But he marched in that march against pesticides.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even though
rainy.
He voted.
Yeah, he vetoed it. That's true. Old vetoed Gary Hoosier's bill. But,
right. Hey, I want to point out, we're talking about this wonderful talk. And that went on July 30th. And I just want to point out, if those folks that have not, don't know what we're talking about or would like to hear it again, they can go to kkcr.org and click on the archive section. And KKCR has all the speakers that spoke that day or that evening on their archives.
Yes.
Which is really a
that
cool
is
thing.
Cool. Hats off to KKCR. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because
so
that's the kind of thing that there was PowerPoint stuff that, you know, you might want to listen to twice. It was so full of information.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't mention Lauren Pang because where I heard it in Waimea, Dr. Pang wasn't there. But the thing I like about Pang, besides his passion, is he used to do GMO research. I mean, this guy knows the subject. He used to make pharmaceutical drugs out of bacteria.
For vaccinations?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. For vaccinations?
I thought so. But hey.
I don't know. But he used to work in the pharmaceutical industry, and he's not, in theory, against genetic engineering, which makes him a really powerful advocate, I think, because he knows the subject. And his deal is, look, you know, if you're going to do research on something you don't know what it's going to do, you do it in a lab with no windows open, under a vent.
Oh, you don't do it
wear
by
a
school?
Mask.
Or a hospital?
Yeah,
or a residential?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Like, really? You're going to do it next to a school? I don't think so. But, yeah, so Pang is a very good advocate for public health. I've always been impressed with his lectures, and he frequently comes here and talks.
He's great.
He's great.
Very passionate.
Yeah.
He's entertaining and knowledgeable, and he knows his stuff, and he knows his stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, that's right.
He'd be
MD,
a challenge.
PhD, he knows his stuff, and
I think the step that a lot of people are looking for is, hey, no more spraying.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da! I think you get a lot of people be really happy about that.
I know I would be.
Yeah, no more spraying. I mean, you know, when my grandma was alive, all foods were organic.
Everything
was organic.
That's just what food was.
They didn't label it because it was all organic.
You know? It's funny how we have to create this. Why didn't they create their newfound stuff? You know, now we've got to come around and be like, oh, organic, even though natural, old school.
Yeah, old school.
Right.
Back in the day.
Right.
And, there was a UN report that said that in the future that we're going to have to return to organic food, because that's going to be the only sustainable way to feed the world. And it really has to do with the fact that the chemical agriculture kills the soil. And, you know, we can't just keep adding fertilizer. You got to have natural compost and bugs and fungi and blah, blah, blah. The Apollo Kauai kind of groups and others put together a panel on global warming last month, and is also a subject that is near and dear to our hearts here in Hawaii because of ocean acidification, that when carbon dioxide gets into the ocean, it makes the pH of the ocean more acidic, and certain things can't calcify. Lots of shell life, things with hard exoskeletons, need calcium, and when the pH is too acidic, coral can't grow, because coral is all calcium carbonate. And global warming is a big issue for island states like ours, because if we lose our reefs, we're in trouble in many, many ways for many reasons. And I think that it's important to just say what you can do as a citizen. You can drive less. You can get a high mileage car. You can not eat meat. The meat industry is a major producer of methane, which is a big global warming gas.
Methane and water consumption.
Water consumption too. Yeah, that doesn't affect
global
warming.
The meat
is a extremely poor environmental choice for a lifestyle, Global warming is kind of a long-term thing, and a lot of people don't lose any sleep over it, because they figure, by the time it's a problem, it'll be my grandkids who'll have to deal with it. But it's a problem, and it's gonna be more increasingly a problem as it is. So with that, I think we need to, we need to crank along here. We saw a movie that, Kauai Rising Group, kind of put together the talent to make this movie. It was at KCC, and I know that auditorium, I think, holds 800 people, and the auditorium is pretty much full, wasn't it? It was sold
packed.
Out.
It was pretty impressive. Oh, they ended up doing another showing.
Well, that's right.
The next day.
They did two showings.
And then it went out on social media, so if you're one of those social media people.
That's the name of the movie, Aina, right?
Correct.
Aina, Land. And was quite good. The movie makers were quite talented. I felt the hero of the movie was our DNLR guy, Department of Land and Natural Resources, Don Heacock.
Yeah.
He was very, very articulate and very precise as to why pesticides were not a good idea. And
pesticides are not okay.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and Don found atrazine in his spring water.
It was killing him.
And he developed lymphoma, which is known to be atrazine is known to be a cause of lymphoma. So, yeah, that was a pretty powerful personal testimony. I understand Don's doing well now, back to work, and he's doing okay.
Oh, yeah, he put some weight on again, and in the movie he was just about gone, the way it looked to me. So right there is testimony right there on pesticides. Yeah. And they still spray that stuff all over the place. Kauai Coffee, I just always like to bring that out. Kauai Coffee sprays Paraquat.
Underwriters.
Paraquat, folks. Paraquat on your coffee.
Paraquat.
Which is illegal.
Unless you
grease the right palm and get the right permit. But it doesn't mean anything beyond that.
Yeah, it's to spray poison all over the land. It's just like, who thought that up? I'm sorry. Anyway, good movie. Ina, you probably, I don't know, I guess they're taking it around. I don't know if you can buy a copy or see a copy, but you can get the trailer on the internet. It's quite good. I wanted to comment a little bit on the takeover of the Pui sewage plant by the company Aqua Engineers. When I read that, I'm sure most people kind of snooze through that news story. But to me, that's an interesting point because when I lived in California 11 years ago, for many decades, I was very much interested in sewage treatment. And then I got to Hawaii and I realized, oh my God, it's hopeless here. I mean, we have septic tanks and cesspools. Give me a break. This is like, sewage is not treated here. It's just dumped in the land. It's a nightmare. It's like, oh my God, I thought California was bad. This is a nightmare. But we do have a couple sewage plants here and they have really short ocean outfall pipes that just go out a little bit.
And then dump it.
It's treated sewage and
treated means,
you know,
treated with chemicals.
Yeah,
and thank you.
They treat it with chemicals, and they. I'm not going to bore you with the details on how sewage is treated, but I wanted to say that there is an important point: is that sewage has been treated the same way since the 1930s. Then the technology on sewage treatment has massively progressed, but the government who runs sewage treatment plants has not upgraded the technology a bit. I mean, we can hold a computer in our hand and do our email.
We make the tricorder look like a toy.
Yeah, come on. And to me, that's a function of government, because government doesn't have an incentive to please the customer and make things more efficient and make things cheaper. This is the way we've always done it, and you know, this is how we're going to do it. And the fact that they contracted out sewage treatment to a private company, in my view, is a good thing. I would like to see private companies treat sewage as a government contract. The government has to say, yes, we hire you, and we'll fire you if you don't do a good job. But to me, that, you know, there's other reasons, the government unions and government pensions and blah, blah, blah. But more so, it's the innovation that I'm looking for, because there's a lot of really cool innovation on how to treat the bacteria and sewage. But having said all this, it's really important to say it's not just bacteria and virus that I worry about when you dump sewage into our waterways. Lots of things go in down your toilet and sink besides poop and pee. You pour coffee in there, you pour turpentine in your paint, and there's all kinds of things, all the Prozac
prescription drugs.
You know, just
what was the
and it all
birth goes control.
Birth control pills, they all go out into our waterways, and they kill the reefs and they kill the fish. Or they make the fish sink, sick. And sewage is an issue that needs to be dealt with. You know, there's a lot of talk about the cow poop in Mahaulipu and how that's going to be treated, which it, of course, won't be treated. But human sewage is a problem besides bacteria and virus, and it should never be dumped in a waterway. It should be recycled. It should have reverse osmosis filtration, reused, and you can drink it again if it's properly treated. You can drink it again, and that's the only way to go. Water shouldn't be dumped in the ocean or in the river. Never, never, never.
So, makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, okay. There's some controversy about this great big pile of dirt over by the embankment by the Hanalea River.
Yeah.
You guys hear about that one? That was
with all the rain we've had, it's washing down and off from their pile and into the Hanalea River, which, you know, dirt, and who knows what that dirt contains.
Yeah, and they're using best management practices. You know, they're
sounds good.
Yeah, best management practices means we're not totally ignoring this problem. You know,
we'll put up a little fence, a little black.
We've got
yellow tape.
A gadfly out there,
caution.
Terry Lilly, who's been alerting the public about it, and they covered it up now, I think, with a tarp, maybe. I haven't been out there, but you know, it is an issue when you put a big pile of dirt next to a river. You know, what are you thinking? And I don't think I've ever been to LA when it's not raining. I mean, I live in Kigaha. We get rain four times a year out there, but you know, you don't put dirt piles next to the river. Come on. I'm sorry. That's not okay. I don't care what your best management practices are. So I want to say hats off to these troublemaking gadfly guys who alert the public on these things. Good for you. Even if you are a little over the top, I don't care.
I want to say Richard Fernandez, he's in the house. Sunset Jazz is 12 minutes away. Stick around, folks, for some Sunset Jazz. We got 12 minutes left of the show. You know, I don't know if you folks listen to other radio stations. I happen to, because why not? But there's been this onslaught of these pesticide ads from Kauai Crop Improvement Association.
Yeah, that's the GMO company.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and check them out if you so choose, because they keep talking about responsible use of pesticides. And then I drive down the road, any road here on Kauai, and you see irresponsible use of pesticides. Spraying along the waterways. I mean, first of all, their warnings and instructions are pretty non-existent, but they're there. You're not supposed to spray 50 feet from a waterway or something, and da 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 da. But here, our state, you know, a fine example is by the golf course and the jail, and there's a canal there, and they just sprayed just recently. It's all dead. You can't miss it. And that's irresponsible use of pesticides. So these commercials are talking about, ooh, you know, we got to have responsible use of pesticides in order to have fresh green vegetables. And
wouldn't it be not using pesticide at all?
I agree with you.
That would be the responsible thing.
I agree. But what are we supposed to do when we see irresponsible use of pesticide? You can't just say responsible use of pesticide and that's it. And that solves the problem. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
Those guys did everything they could to, you know, with all due respect to Gary Hoosier, that law was so wimpy and so weak, and they worked so hard to defeat it. And they worked right through the legal system. They spent millions of dollars.
They,
the pesticide companies.
Thank you.
And you know, it's like, come on, you know, this stuff is poison. They're spraying poison all over our neighborhood. And they're talking about responsibility. And, you know, I understand. I've talked enough to these guys and the farmers, too, who they don't think this stuff is dangerous. They think it's safe.
Just Roundup.
Yeah. It's just don't worry. It's Roundup. You know, it's safe. And you know, most of all the pesticides that have been outlawed as dangerous were once called safe. I mean, tobacco was once called safe. I mean, you know, it's like I don't know. You know, it's, I know that's the way they make a living and la-di-da, but it's pretty disappointing, I think, when these guys are trying to say that they're responsible by spraying poisons all over the land.
They're responsible for the spraying.
Yeah.
How's that?
Responsible use, yeah. Give me a break. So, you know, with all due respect, I haven't heard any of these pesticide ads, but I did watch those TV. There were half-hour TV shows that were designed to defeat the Maui anti-pesticide GMO initiative that won, and that was the most expensive election in Hawaiian history. They spent more on that to try to defeat that initiative in Maui than the governor's race, you know, or the senator's race, and they failed. So all power to the grassroots activism in Maui, but they were pretty slick commercials, and they said, well, you know, you're going to kill the small farmer, and they really did their level best to distort what the safety folks on Maui were trying to do. But I have not heard the ads on the other radio stations. Maybe I listen to KKCR too much. I don't know. But y'all wanted to mention the water diversion issue here, because we've talked a lot on this show, especially this summer, about the drought and El Nino. But the Opa'ika Falls has really been wimpy, even in the super rainy weather. We're noticing when the Waimea River flows like crazy and the water's red and flowing out to the ocean, the falls are just kind of dribbling down, and it's, you know, kind of clearish water. And what's happening, for those of you who live in Wailua and don't know it, is the cornfields are starting to proliferate up there. They're starting to build GMO corn fields up there, and they're diverting the water. That, added to the drought, is the waterfalls are kind of petering out, and we're losing.
That's a big tourist attraction, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge. People come to Kauai to see the beaches and the waterfalls and
the plains.
Yeah, that's right. What was that show?
Fantasy Island.
Yeah, that was
the falls.
Those were the falls. Yeah, so, you know, that was a big issue on Maui, and the conservation community sues. After doing a lot of homework, they sued the cane companies to put some water back in the streams, and they were successful. So we may need to do the very same thing here, especially as they divert more and more water. The Waimea River is a good example. Excuse me, that only has about a quarter of the water did originally, because the corn companies have diverted all that river water. So I think that kind of wraps up our show. We talked a lot of things. We talked about the water tests and the Blue Water Task Force, and how they were moderately clean this month because of the lack of rain. We talked about the missile base and the pros and cons, the fact that they closed up the base and to the public, and nature was able to come back quite well. But we also talked about all the dangerous and destructive things that they test out there, and we really have no idea what they're doing. We talked about invasive species and the mongooses and the Roundup shooting out of helicopters with paintball guns, and the lectures on the GMO scientists, all the new pesticide book. I'm going to say the pesticide booklets again. Pesticide Action Network, How Pesticides Are Undermining Our Children's Health and Intelligence, and also Hawaii's Center for Food Safety. CenterForFoodSafety.org has a really good book called Pesticides in Paradise, a booklet. Hawaii's Health and Environment at Risk, quite good. We talked global warming, the Aina movie, Aqua Engineers taking over the Pui plant, the pros and cons of privatizing sewage treatment, that maybe technology might improve. If
any treatment would be helpful, huh?
You know, it's
at least start in that direction.
It's the 21st century, and we're doing 1930s technology for sewage treatment here. And that's at the sewage plants. Here,
right.
We're essentially just dumping our sewage into the ground here in Hawaii. It's just stupid. The dirt pile in the Hanalei River, the pesticides ads and the responsible use of pesticides fallacy and water diversion at Opa'ika Falls. So, yeah, we covered a lot, and I wanted to say that... next month, on the fourth Monday of each month,
third
Monday of each month.
After the second Tuesday.
Exactly. First Monday, third Monday after the second Tuesday.
Correct.
That's Kauai Mixed Plate, something or other, right? Whatever.
That's us.
Well, every Monday from 5 to 6 is Kauai Mixed Plate.
That's right.
This is the end of Kauai Earth Connection.
Right.
After 6-7 years.
The three of us took over... Diana Lebedz's, my wife's show, when she ran for mayor about 6 years ago.
Sure.
And we just kept doing it. And now we're giving it back to her now. And she's very excited and interested in moving forward with the show. And I know the first few shows she's going to talk about growing hemp on, and the pros. I don't know if there are any cons, but definitely the pros.
It's going to be a very informative show. She's going to have guests that either call in and she's going to interview. And just stay tuned because we'll have some announcements and descriptions of that.
From the station that loves you.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks a lot to all the folks that called. I'm going to pose the question out to anybody that knows, something to think about. They were asking, you know, these really invasive grasses and nut grasses and things like that. If you don't spray herbicides, what is the solution to get rid of it? It's very labor intensive, and he was just looking for a solution, and putting it out there. We're coming up to the end. Richard Fernandez is coming in for Sunset Jazz. So thanks again to my favorite West Side environmentalist for always being here and inspiring the X-Man and I to come up and inform you folks with all this wonderful information.
Right on. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
See you. This is Gordon LeBed saying good night.
All right.
Good night. Happy trails.
All right. And I'm gonna leave you with one of my favorite exit songs for this show. West Side Smitty.
Well, can't dive outlaws of Boldy Holly. Waiting out sunset just like coal out. Well, flea cocaine out into me lowly. No landing permit. Hiding out in the caves of Kalalau. Well, when the bush rangers come, they'll make outlaws out of some. From first ditch, we watch the setting sun now. Well, base of state share gates. Just treaty and trust to break. Stay gone for good, the public right away now. In sands bark only behind chain gates. Well, Milo Lee, he's been close on 20 years now. Maybe the base plans more coast to take. A green harvest, get the funds. State and feds act as one. While the corn lords cockroach the Malka Road. Well, DLNR signs, yet the real crime and fine. Using state neglect to close the beaches. Well, bad seed from very low rising GMO. Choke kind, banana, polka vine. Well, what we say about cocaine, they don't care now, but don't care. State can't wait and get its gate next time. Well, brown and yellow signs, yet the real crime and fine is the base and the state and the gate closing the beaches. Well, when the bush rangers come, they'll make outlaws out of some. And now I'm a Nas as far as I can run. a burner rubber and GMO toads cover the road. And now my Nas as far as I can go. The most.